We're so glad that you're here visiting us on this new year. We're excited that you joined us. And my name is Pastor Elias Ozuna, and my wife, Alyssa, just left to go help Sunday school. We're glad to have you here. Praise the Lord. New year. Wow. Let's get started. There's so many things that went through my mind during worship. Some of the stuff Aloy mentioned took me back, and I had a lot of emotional roller coaster there a little bit, and I'm going to try to keep it together today. I'm going to share just a little bit of my testimony, not the big version, just like the five-minute version, but just a lot of memories are flooding back, and I believe 2019 is going to be a really good year. What do I mean by good year? That could be relative, right? It doesn't mean bad things are not going to happen. Okay, don't leave this place thinking that everything's going to be wonderful for the whole year. But I've been praying about, Lord, every year we've had a theme. And last year our theme was, does anybody remember what our theme was last year? Anybody? Nobody. Somebody's got to remember. Taking ground. Somebody said it. Taking ground for his kingdom. And I can look back now and say we have taken some ground. Many salvations, new ministries, Bible studies in Spanish at the Colonia. Things are happening we're really taking ground. So I was looking back a little bit and I was praying, Lord, what is it that you want for 2019? And, you know, we like to focus on outreaches and stuff, and I have a tendency to want to chart the vision about that. But you know what? God kind of confirmed it in my heart. In 2019 is going to be the year to sow and to grow. And I really felt in my heart in my prayer time that it's time for us to just keep sowing righteousness. I think Aloy hit on something there about righteousness, sowing the right things. Because you know what happens when you sow? The Bible says you will reap what you sow. And then growing, you know, in order to grow, you have to be intentional. It just doesn't happen, right? In order to grow things, you got to take care of it. You got to work at it. And so that concept of sowing and growing in 2019 is really what I feel God wants us to do. And by the end of the year, we look back. You know, I'm really believing that we're going to be stronger, more planted on a solid foundation, more sure of our calling, more sure of the direction that God has for us as individuals, as families, and as a church body. To sow and grow, it's a beautiful concept, easy for us to understand. And Jesus used this concept a lot about sowing and growing. So I wanna touch on that today. In the sermon. So in 2019 is the year to sow and to grow. So repeat that after me. In 2019, it's the year to sow and grow. And I want us to think about these two concepts independently from each other. Because, you know, it's possible to sow and not grow. You're wondering, what are you talking about, Pastor? It's possible to sow and not grow. Like the Pharisees, they were sowing into the church and sowing, but they weren't growing because they missed Jesus, the whole point of it, right? They missed it all. They were doing some form of sowing into ministry or into the temple, but they were missing it. They weren't growing. So I want to separate the two concepts, sowing and growing independently. Now, obviously, they work together as well. You sow righteousness and you grow along the way. But I wanted to just kind of think of them separately today and in this year. You know, like, they can be separate. I like to think of these two terms the same way we look at faith and works. You know, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. Right? So you can work hard for the kingdom, and your faith is just there, not growing. You're not growing in the Lord spiritually. So it works like this. When you have just works and not faith, it doesn't you don't grow. But when you have faith and you're growing in your faith, you have a tendency to work for the Lord, serve the Lord, do things for his kingdom, right? And same thing with sowing and growing. You can sow and not grow. Like, remember those televangelists that in the 80s, they were sowing a lot in evangelical ministry, and people were getting saved and things were happening. But their personal lives, a lot of them, they kind of fell apart. Some of them got caught in adultery or got financial dishonesty or things like that. And it's so important that we don't just get so busy in the ministry or busy working or doing things that we forget to grow our relationship in the Lord. So important to grow along with sowing in our lives. So you can work and have not faith, but when you have true faith, you seem to want to work for the Lord in your faith. So you can also sow and not grow. However, when you are growing, it comes natural to sow. And that's how I want to look at this. So here's the main point on your notes. Everyone have notes. If you don't, raise your hands. Everyone have notes. If you don't, raise your hands and we'll get them to you. All right. In your notes, the main point today, 2019 is the year to sow and to grow. Sow and grow. Sow cheerfully, grow intentionally, and God will move supernaturally. I like that. I just came up with that, by the way. I didn't read it. It's pretty good. I'll give it to you for free. Write it. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that good, right? It's free. It's God's word. Sow cheerfully, grow intentionally, and God will move supernaturally. I believe this with all of my heart. I've seen God move. I don't have time to go through all the testimonies of the miracle of this, the miracle of that. I mean, God is just, he's faithful. We don't like his timing, but he is faithful. He's faithful. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. So we're going to think about these two concept, sowing and growing, as independent from each other. So that first underline you got, and only underline, so it's an easy quiz today on your notes. You only have one underline to fill, and that is, think of these two concepts, sowing and growing, as independent from each other. So let's go to some scriptures about sowing. If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 for me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. You know, like when the Bible says that to you, it's being very direct. You know, I think Eloy was talking about Pastor Green. Kathleen is Pastor Green's wife, if you're new here. And they pastored this church for 23 years. This church was chartered in 1936. Can you believe that? I don't know, not much older than the city of Donna probably. But in 1936 it was chartered and has been here all this time. And it is just, God just kept it together. But he was very direct, Pastor Green. That is so true. So I like what Lloyd said. So if you're have your phones on, you know, when he was saying that, it reminded me to turn my ringer off my phone. I was like, that's the last thing I need to happen is for Eloy to kind of tell us to be respectful and then the pastor's phone go off ringing. That wouldn't work really well. So I made sure to turn it down. Thank you, Eloy. So, but it is important to honor and be respectful in the house of the Lord. So important. And we kind of lose that over time. And it's important to bring it back. So I do appreciate Eloy speaking from his heart on that. But be not deceived. That's pretty direct. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. And verse 9 is very important on sowing and reaping. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. You cannot let time dictate your faith. You can't let time or get weary waiting on God or waiting for the answers. Do not be weary in well-doing, the Bible says. Keep on the path of righteousness. Keep on the path of growing in the Lord. Keep on the path of sowing and reaping according to biblical principles. Keep on that path. So that's a scripture about sowing. You will reap what you sow. It's very clear in scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I love it when God's word is very clear. You know, sometimes there's gray areas and we're trying to figure it out. But there are certain things in scripture that are so clear, like Jesus is the only way, right? That's clear. Jesus is the Messiah. Clear. And the reaping and sowing concept is very clear in God's word as well. We just read two passages, and there's many, many more. Two passages where you will reap what you sow. If you sow righteousness, you're going to reap some righteous blessings, right? If you sow into sin and your sinful nature, you will reap some death, right? Or some bad things in life. Because the wages of sin is death. And the reason we're still alive today is because of his grace and his mercy. He's good. He's good. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. So it says here, to give bountifully. I like that concept. I think I learned this from Pastor Green in those 23 years. Is you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. He's good. And it also says, don't give grudgingly. It does no good to give because someone's forcing you to give. Or someone's giving you some emotional plea and you're doing it out of emotion. You should give because you love to serve and be obedient to God. Not for any other reason, but give cheerfully to bless people. Give cheerfully to be obedient. Bless. Give cheerfully just to sow something righteous. And that is the concept there in 2 Corinthians. And I like Ecclesiastic, if you'll turn there. That one's a little harder to find, but, you know, being many years of experience and Pastor Green giving me like thousands of these, I marked the Bible before I get here so I can get to the scriptures. Ecclesiastics chapter 11, verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What that means is if you're getting too busy and observing things and should I sow now? Is it time now? Is it later? Now is the time to sow. Don't wait or nothing's going to happen. It's never too late to start sowing seed, righteous seed in your life. There's not a time to wait when you got it all together. There's not a perfect time to sow and wait for the wind to be blowing a certain direction, as the scripture says, or wait for the clouds to be such and such. Sow because you know God will bless you. God will, his word will come to pass. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. So I think it's established very well here in scripture that the sowing principle. Now let's go into a few scriptures about growing. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The word of God in Hebrews 6, verse 1 reads, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead of works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. In other words, in this scripture, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. In other words, don't stay in the basic doctrine of we need to be saved and God saved us and stay there. The scripture is challenging us to grow unto perfection, which means to be Christ-like. Because Christ is perfection. To continue to let God's character, Jesus' character, transform us so we become more and more like Him over time. Growth is very important in the body of Christ. And we're not talking about the kind of growth where you learn how to speak Christian, where you just know how to say the right things and you know the words to say and not to say. We're talking about stuff that people can't see in here. Deep growth of faith, commitment, and just dedication, determination that this book, the Word of God, is truth and will come to pass in my life. And every promise that He's made to us will come to pass. Even when time is against us. Like Sarah, right? Time was against her. She gave up. But God made a promise. And it happened. We never, ever doubt that His promises will come to pass. Growth is important. Don't stay in elementary doctrine. Continue to grow in your faith. Continue to grow. Also, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, and this is the last scripture. I warned you, whenever I say it's the last scripture, it doesn't mean that we're done. But it is the last scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This scripture is telling us, don't be like a child being tossed to and fro, and someone tells you something else, and you're like, I'm not sure which way to go in doctrine and being tossed to and fro. But to grow in truth, you know, Jesus tells us in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Amen. Right? It doesn't even say that the pastor will lead you into all truth. Right? Any pastor tells you they got all the truth, you need to run. Right? Run away from them. Run fast. I remember, it reminds me of the story Pastor Green had a marriage counseling session. It's not any of you in here, so don't worry. Had a marriage counseling session, and actually, it wasn't a marriage counseling session. It was just a meeting that turned into a marriage counseling session. And he's talking to them, and he's starting to feel there's some issues going on. And he asked them, when's the last time, I think they were married maybe 2 years, when's the last time you all got into a fight? And they said, no, we never fight. He says, oh, you guys are in deep trouble. You know, it's natural to have disagreements even in marriages, and there's no need to try to pretend that you're perfect. If you want to go to a church where everyone thinks or can get across or at least portray that they're perfect, this is probably not the one. We got a lot of flawed people in this church, including your pastors. They're flawed. But one thing that Pastor Green did teach me over the years is being real is important. Being real is important. Being real is important. It's so important. And in the scripture, don't be a child being tossed to and fro. It's time to grow. Don't let men switch the way you think, or just keep going to the Holy Spirit. Keep going in prayer. Keep asking God to guide you to confirm things in your heart. You know, I was very impressed with Eloy bringing up this scripture, because this is like 3-4 years ago, and I didn't talk about it every week. It was kind of a moment in time, and he remembered, came back to him. And this was one of those things where I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You know, as pastors, when I started in 2014, you know, I go through the normal things like, oh, what are we supposed to do? How do we grow? How do you do this? I try to figure it all out in my head. I have a business degree, so let's use some concepts. And I was trying to figure it all out, and it gets confusing, right? So God's teaching me, keep it simple. Keep it simple. And I did. I prayed, and I said, Lord, what? You know, the presence of God is strong, but I know, I've been going to church since I was 5 years old. I know that this comes and goes. Lord, how do we make sure that even though we're having good or bad times, as me as an individual or as a church, that your presence never leaves us? And you're right, Eloy was right to that scripture that came. All you got to do is keep it simple and focus on this. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And his presence will be with you. And that, you know, I brought me to tears. It brought me back. I was like, yes, Lord, that was your word. And that's what I mean by allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and stumble you into truth. And it will happen. Just keep praying. Keep believing. Right? I know Pastor Green used to make this joke, and he had a really interesting way of bringing the point across about this, you know, where the Bible says, don't get into these conversations that are useless, you know. And he says one time somebody wanted to argue with him about whether or not there would be bathrooms in heaven. Okay, that's a really good example of don't waste your time with that kind of stuff. You're never going to find it in Scripture. You know, just stay focused on the main thing. Keep it simple, right? God loves us, and we need him, and he loves us. And grow. Grow in the Lord. No more tossed to and fro. Find the truth by the Holy Spirit. Find the truth by the Holy Spirit. Well, let me give you a little bit of my testimony just to, as we emphasize sowing and growing in 2019. I was 5 years old, 5 años, when I walked into this church. In 1976, my mom brought us into this church, and I remember thinking, I'm going back, because they gave me cookies, I don't know what was going on that day, but they gave us cookies or something, and I remember going back. Well, my mom wasn't very faithful in attending at that time, so... Because God loves me. Hey, personalize it, right? He put a pastor in this church in 1970s. That it was a small, we probably had 20, 30 people in the church. Very smaller than it is now. And he would go every Sunday morning to pick me up. From age 6, 7 all the way to I was 18. As a matter of fact, when we were 18, my brother and I, Ernie, had to tell him, we have our own car, we can get there on our own. Still wanted to pick us up. But that was just a miracle of God. That doesn't happen every day. But that happened to me. And in those years, God used this little church to feed me biblical principles. And from age 5 to age 18, I was taught some basic biblical concepts. And sometimes today these become controversial. But let me tell you, what's in God's word is in God's word. Amen? It doesn't change. And these are just some examples of things I was taught when I was going to Sunday school, when I was attending church. That getting drunk is a sin. Going to parties where they have alcohol is a sin. Is wrong. That's what I was taught. And there's a scripture that says, right, don't get drunk. Instead, get drunk with the Holy Spirit, right? You read that scripture. I was taught that pornography is sin. I was even taught, see, I was very conservative. Rated R movies was not wise and was wrong. Now, that one is more, you know, it just kind of depends, right? Schindler's List is rated R, but it's probably a good moral story there, you know, so. But that's how I was raised. Right? Homosexuality is a sin. How many know the Bible says homosexuality is a sin? This one becomes harder and harder to talk about in the church, by the way, right? But God's word doesn't change, right? You know, one of the worship stars, I'm not going to mention any names, but this person started doing interviews in the secular world, and she didn't prepare herself quite right. So I said she, so you may know who she is, I don't know. But they asked her in the secular world if homosexuality was sin or wrong. And she wasn't ready to answer. She says, who am I to judge? Right. Whenever they try to trap Jesus, because they tried to do that, the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know the story, right? With the adulterous woman, he says, cast the first stone, and you without sin. And he always got out of those traps. But Jesus never made excuse for sin. Never. He would tell the lady, go and sin no more. And boy, she struggled with that answer. And boy, I started reading some of the comments, and the Christians weren't nice to her. And Jesus was in bad controversy in that sense. But even, I mean, that's just what the Bible's clear. And it's hard because they put Christians in a corner now in this political environment. And it's important for us to be wise in our answers. Amen. Amen. The Bible is our authority. The Word of God is our authority. The Word of God is truth. And so it's always good if you get that question and you're in that situation that this lady was in, always use the Word of God as your authority. Say, I believe that the Bible is truth. And the Bible teaches this. Leave the authority at the Word of God, not your opinion. That's wise, right? That's wise. And I was taught these principles that sex outside of marriage is a sin, which is clear in Scripture as well. I was taught the tithing principle, 10% is obedience to God. Amen? And I didn't have any money when I was taught these principles, by the way. I say this out loud. We literally lived on $400 a month for a long time in the 80s and 90s, mostly 80s. But if I had a dollar or $10, I was taught, you tithe. Amen? Okay, good. You're taught those two. Being faithful and accountable to church attendance is obedience. I was taught, be faithful, be accountable. I was taught that the hard way because, you know, one time I tried to skip church, and when the pastor came to pick me up, we just hid. We didn't answer the phone, first of all. He calls to tell I'm coming, and no, let's not answer the phone. Let's pretend we're asleep. And we didn't answer the phone, and Pastor Corser came not at our front door, at the window of my room, knocking. Get up. Of course, you know, we were trying to skip church, but we weren't awful kids. So we weren't going to not go. Okay, fine. We got ready. We went to church. That's a lesson about being faithful and accountable at church attendance. Amen? I was taught that principle. I was taught that praying and reading my Bible is like food and water. If you want to survive, you got to pray and you got to read your Bible. You will die. spiritually, right? Forgive others. And I was taught that the Holy Spirit can empower me to overcome sin in my life. This was an important principle to learn. Because there's a lot of Christians who get saved and then they struggle with sin and they think, I guess I'm just not good enough. Well, it's true. You're not good enough. Which is why we need His blood to cover our unrighteousness. And the Holy Spirit does empower you. And over time, when you keep reading and praying and seeking God and growing, the sin becomes diminished in your life as life goes on. And I remember those times when I was a Christian and I had to deal with sins and I had to confront them. And the answer was not to ignore them. The answer was go to the cross, go in prayer, and say, God, I'm weak, but I come to You. I need You to empower me to overcome sin. I learned these principles in a little church with a pastor that many thought was a little quirky. You know, pastors are quirky, I guess, sometimes. And I put 11, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have time to go through everything, but you get the point. This was my upbringing. I listened and I learned how to act and talk like a Christian. I learned all these principles. I was dedicated to the lukewarm Christian life, my teenage years. I sat in the back pew over there, in the far left over there. There were wooden pews at the time. Aren't you glad you're not sitting on a wooden pew, by the way? Thank Pastor Green for that. He got rid of them one day. Surprised the council. The church council was like, what happened to the pews? They're in the fellowship hall and they're going to get sold. We're sitting on, well, it was just folding chairs at that time. They weren't soft. So they were like, what's going on? But something happened at age 15 that challenged my lukewarm life. See, I was taught not to be lukewarm. I was taught to be hot or cold, as it says in Revelations. And something happened when I was 18 years old. And nobody here was involved, so don't think any high school friends of mine. But at age 18, my senior year, something happened that forced me to choose hot or cold. And this is my story of that incident. And this was the beginning of the change in my life. I didn't have a car because, you know, we didn't have money. So after school, I usually walked home. I didn't live too far from the school, so I walked home. Or sometimes I would get a ride. So one day I was going to walk home and someone says to me, hey, I can give you a ride. Oh, great. So I get in the car and little did I realize, I think it was Friday, that the person wasn't taking me towards my home. They were taking me somewhere else. And I was like, hey, my house is over here. Oh, no, you're going to go over here. Well, they took me to a party in which I was taught, you know, was not good. That, a lot of sin at that party. And I remember the person challenging me. So what are you going to do? It was literally 26 blocks away from my home. From one end of the city to the other end of the city. And I, what are you going to do? Just stay. You don't have a way to get home. And I remember being in that situation, watching what they were watching, doing what they were doing, and I had to make a choice. And I remember saying, I'm sorry, I'm walking. And I left. And I started walking. And every step I took, at first I was kind of embarrassed. But every step I took, something was happening. Like I was being freed from lukewarmness. I had to make a choice in front of people. And I tried to hide it, my light, as much as I could. I mean, I was a good person, you know, I didn't do too bad. But there's a difference between being good and serving the Lord. Amen? And surrendering to his calling. And I walked, and every step I took was freedom, 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 freedom. By the time I got home, I was like, I think something's happened. A few months later, after that, I attended a Wednesday night service here. And I never went to a midweek service. I was just getting picked up on Sunday morning, so I didn't come any other day. And I just decided I'm going to church on Wednesday. And we had a special speaker. And the special speaker, and he's gone to be with the Lord now, but I'm going to joke with him about this in heaven one day. He was the pastor of San Antonio and a church in San Antonio, and he was speaking, and hope he doesn't get after me in heaven. I don't think you can get after someone in heaven, can you? I think I'll be okay. But he was pretty boring. He wasn't very emphatic, pretty boring speaker. But at the very end of the service, he was going to pray, and when I'm bowed in prayer, and he says just these simple words that changed my life. He said, God loves you. That's it. Said, God loves you. When those words were said, I felt a presence of God, of love, that I hadn't experienced to that point. On a Wednesday night service, there was not even that many people in here, probably like 10. And at that moment, I knew I had to choose to begin sowing and growing. I knew things are going to have to be different. So when I remembered all what I had learned when I was earlier from age 5 to 18, what stood out was this Sunday school song in my heart. What am I going to do? How am I going to change? And Lord, I don't know how to do this. And what came to my mind was that simple song that many of you know, part of my testimony. It said, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's all that came to mind. I said, well, Lord, what do I do? And that's what came to my mind. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Sounds simple. I can handle that. So I decided to read my Bible and pray every day. I had never done that my whole life. And here I was taught all these principles. So I did it. I read my Bible, I prayed. For the first couple of weeks, it was just like nothing. Like talking to the wall, I didn't feel, it was just nothing. It was just, I'm just going to be obedient. And all of a sudden, one day I started praying and reading. And for the first time in my life, I had what I would call a camp experience. You know how you go to summer camps and God shows up? I had one of those camp experiences in my own room where God just showed up. It's hard to explain. But he just showed up, and I just knew, wow, this is pretty powerful. This is pretty amazing life. And I knew at that point I was not going to live a lukewarm life anymore. A lot of things happened after that, and I won't go into it. Maybe I can hit part two later. But that I wanted to stop there in my testimony for now. I began to sow and to grow. And all of this happened before I met my beautiful wife. I didn't know her at that time. All of this happened before I had a job or I went to college. All of this happened when I was very, very, very poor. But I still sowed and I tithed what I could whenever I got money. And I was a baby Christian. But I made a decision to be intentional about growing spiritually, reading my Bible, praying daily, even if I didn't feel like it or I was mad at God for not acting fast enough. I would listen to sermons on TV and radio. I was going to church faithfully. I was just determined, I'm going to sow and I'm grow. There was a fork in the road, and it was time to choose, and I chose. And 30 years later, here we are. There's a lot more testimony to that, but you don't have time for that today. I am a witness today that every promise that God has in His Word has come true in my life. Maybe not the perfect timing I wanted it, but I can stand here today and tell you that all the sowing was worth it. God is good. He's so good. And in 2019, let's just sow and grow. And you will see at the end of the year that God is good. He's so good to us. And I really believe we're going to see a harvest. And I'm not talking about like people, numbers, and that kind of stuff. It may not. That doesn't really matter. What we're talking about growing and harvest is turning from being tossed to and fro to being people of stability and peoples that have strength and are confident in who they are in Christ Jesus. It's the year to sow and to grow. Sow into your reading of your word, of your Bible, of prayer time. Sow into ministry. Sow however you can sow and grow by hearing God's word, being where you can to hear more of His word. Just be determined to grow. And I'm looking forward to see what this year brings. We're going to do a few more men's and women's meetings and a few things to give people opportunity to gather and to grow together. And I encourage you to be part of that as much as you can. We live busy lives, but don't ever get too busy to sow and to grow. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask our elders to come forward. We're going to close today with communion. It's a good way to start the year, the first Sunday. Take this word with you. You have your notes. Go and pray about it. Pray about how you're going to sow and grow. Gentlemen, go ahead and hand out the bread and hold the bread until all have been served. But take the opportunity this year. Be intentional about how you're going to sow and grow. And God's going to do amazing things in your life. God is not finished with you. He's not finished with me. So in 2019, be determined to sow and to grow. Expect God to move supernaturally on your behalf. Expect God to move supernaturally on your family's behalf. Expect God to move supernaturally in the church, in the church family. The best is truly yet to come. Sow cheerfully and grow intentionally in 2019. This is the way to begin a new year. Sow and grow. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. Thank you for making a way where there seems to be no way. Just lift your bread. We take communion. Heavenly Father, this is the bread that we hold up in remembrance of the body that you shed on Calvary so that we could have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we remember and we don't take it for granted. The sacrifice of the perfect lamb for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the bread together. Heavenly Father, this is the cup that represents the blood that was shed on Calvary. And by your blood, our sins are washed. And because of that, we can stand before God, before the throne, and be righteous, because you've cleansed us from all our unrighteousness. And Lord, we do this as your word commands, in remembrance of you. And Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And we drink in remembrance. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Let's all stand and sing. Beautiful service to begin the year. Go, church, sow and grow, and watch God do amazing things in 2019.